Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read. Now it's time for Gifton to say something funny. I'm starting to feel really bad about this intro.
Why? We're almost at the end of this series. Like, why are you feeling bad now?
Well, yeah, I mean, the intro's not going to change.
Yeah, ever. But we might just start it from now on by saying chapter whatever.
Yeah, just no intro at all. Yeah. Just chapter 11.
Yeah, welcome to... And I know I say this a lot, but this really is the final episode of Poorly Read. Oh, God. Yeah, we're fucking slap bang in the middle. Well, not really. Kind of. We're coming to the end of the first third of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, it's sort of the end of chapter... We're starting with chapter 11, and it feels like... It feels to me like the end of chapter 11 is like the end of act 1.
I disagree. I would say that the end of chapter 13, I would say, is the end of act 1, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, because it's a very dramatic shift, I think.
It's definitely a climax, isn't it?
Yeah, and then act 2, I'd say, is all the shit in the... Okay, so when would we say act 2 ends? I would say act 2 ends... on whatever happens before they go to go back to Hogsmeade, I would say.
I guess, but I don't know. For me, like Act One is mostly the setup. Act Two is where the stakes get ramped up, and that for me is when they enter the Ministry.
Mm.
Like in terms of self-contained story arcs, in as much as you need an end with a big bang. Yeah, end of chapter 13, but I don't know.
I'm not thinking of it in terms of a big bang. I'm thinking of like the very dramatic shifted like the tone of the story, or where you would put, like, if I was going to put intervals in this, where would I put it?
Yeah, and actually, I suppose there's a good argument to be made to say that the stakes actually end up getting raised as they escape from the Ministry, because it all goes wrong a bit.
All goes Pete Tong, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, good old Pete. And his tongs.
That's how he got his name, you know. He just fucking loved salad.
That's why he's famous. He's just to pick up salad from one bowl and put it in another for hours. And I was like, fucking hell.
Someone get this guy on the radio.
Yeah. Okay, so this is what it sounds like when you pick up letters.
It was an ASMR channel.
Yeah. Someone out there would fucking love that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Alas.
Not us.
Yeah. Salah. Duh. Anyway, chapter 1-1.
The bribe. Or the bride? Bribe.
The bride of Frankenstein.
I couldn't quite hear whether he said, well, I mean, I could have gone back and listened to it again, but I didn't. I was like, did he say the bribe or the bride? And I was like, but I can't, we've already had a wedding. But I also couldn't remember a bribe happening, so I was like, let's just write both.
The bride bribe.
The bribed.
The bribed bride. Yeah. Yeah, someone was like, I'll give you this horseshoe if you marry my cousin. She was like, well, I've always wanted a horseshoe to add to my horseshoe collection. How can you have a horseshoe collection if you haven't got a first one? This is how I start the horseshoe collection. It's like, ah.
Yeah, watch me add it to my collection. Jeez.
Yes, look. Now I have a collection of one.
On second thoughts, I'm not sure I want you marrying into my family.
Yeah. Pulls out a revolver, shoots her in the head.
Takes the horseshoe back.
He's like, ha, it wasn't very lucky for you. Oh, good. And he jumps on his horse, rides away into the sunset, and almost...
His horse is just limping the whole way.
Yeah. The horse falls over dead. And all you can hear in the distance is him going, fuck. And then the credits roll.
Three more shoes, though.
Yeah. Yeah, as before he dies, he goes, oh, if only she knew, she would have had a collection.
Yeah. Oh, we just told a full story there.
Yeah, and everyone at the Cannes Film Festival was like, wow, I've never seen such brazen tomfoolery. So Harry's waiting for Creature to come back.
Yeah, expecting it to not take very long because it didn't take Creature long to do something else. What was it?
To pull the teeth from a drunken sailor.
Exactly. Didn't take him long to do that, so it shouldn't take him long to track down the thief Mundungus.
Yeah, but it does, and Harry spends a couple of days just walking up and down the house, trying to see how long it takes him to get from point A to point B before he loses his erection. So he'll like jerk it in the kitchen, and then he's like, "Okay, go!" And he'll go, try and get all the way out to Sirius's room.
To just wipe it on stuff.
Yeah, he's like, see, Hermione, what I realise is that I have to think sexy thoughts and bang it against the banister. If I do one without the other, it just doesn't work. And Death Eaters are showing up outside in the square.
Oh, yeah. But they're looking at where the house should be, but they're like, 11? 13? Something's amiss here.
But I mean, surely not, since that's how door numbers work in
Britain.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. I did think that, but then, like, does it work the same, like, in a square? Because they talk about the square with a little, like, garden plaza in the middle or something.
I don't know. That's a very good point, actually. I don't know.
I've never lived on a square.
Yeah, I wouldn't know, actually. But I feel like that's... I reckon it does work the way it does in normal life, but it's something that she didn't think about.
But that's such a commonplace thing that you would think about.
Well, literally, I've never thought about it until this very moment, so maybe not. Alas, just more JKQs.
Yeah.
It's more jaquas.
Yeah, more jokes.
Jokes.
Yeah. J-O-Q-U-E-S.
Jokes. So, and because they ain't got anything to fucking do, Ron keeps on using the Deluminator to pass the time, which is fucking everyone off, as it would. Because Hermione's trying to read a fucking book.
I can never say fucking book.
Book. Yeah. Book. Fucking book.
Ron, turn the fucking lights back on. I went weird on the word lights there.
Oh, I didn't notice. How did you say good. It?
Ron, turn the fucking lights back on. That was better, I think. Moody's dead.
Good. Right, so... and then they hear like a clicky, clicky, clicky. And Harry's like, either the door's opening or someone's got a very old watch. So Harry flings his head against Ron's wrist and is like, Ron, I can hear your watch.
Just headbutts him in the wrist.
Yeah. And Ron's like, I haven't got a watch. And Harry's like, I know, I just want to be close to you. No, it's fucking someone coming in through the door.
Yeah, and it's fucking Lupin.
Yeah. And he's all like shit looking as usual.
As usual, he looks like shit.
Yeah. And he's like, ah, Harry. Harry.
Ah, Harry.
Oh, Harry. Yeah.
Harry's like, yes?
Here, Harry, shake my hand. He's like, no, I don't want to. Shake it.
It's all spooky.
Yeah. Here, put some hand sanitizer on. You can get it everywhere now. Just don't drink it.
Unless you want to sanitize your insides.
Don't say that. What if someone does and then we get blowed?
Look, if you want to sanitize, if I wanted to sanitize my insides, I can't think of a better way to do it.
Yeah, it's either hand sanitizer or Jesus. Pick one. So,
all right, good strong enema.
So yeah, they all go into the kitchen and Lupin's like, look, the Death Eaters, they tortured Scrimgeour for your whereabouts, Potter, but he didn't give you away.
Yes, and Harry's all like, oh, Rufus, mate.
Oh, Rufus, I should have blown you when I had the chance.
Hit you into a knobbly cock.
Ah, oh, legend of the knobble cock. So yeah, and then...
And that they tell him that Death Eaters tracked him to that cafe on Tottenham Cotter Road.
Is that a callback joke?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
To be honest, I can't remember how it came about. I just remember us pronouncing Tottenham Court Road in that.
Oh my god, I don't remember that at all. But when you said that, I was like, that seems a very specific thing to say. So that must be a reference.
Yeah, that's how we said it during the episode when they were there, and it was funny at the time. I can't remember why.
I don't remember that at all. Fucking hell! Wow. Anyway, I'm sure you guys would have heard that by now and laughed uproariously.
Uproariously.
Or downroariously. That sounds like a great surname for a really fucking a really rich guy who you just don't want in your friendship group.
Magnus Downroariously.
Yeah. And he talks a bit like this. Yeah. Hello, my name is Magnus Downroariously. who invited Magnus? Yeah, so the Death Eaters, after they attacked the wedding, they wanted to know where Harry was, but they didn't know that he'd been at the wedding, thank God. And then they went and went to every Alder-related house that they knew of to interrogate the owners.
Yeah, including the Tonkses. But then he's like, no, yeah, there are no deaths. Everyone's all right, but they've been through the runner a bit or something.
Yeah. There was a few incursions, but it's okay. Tonks' dad will live to see another day.
Yes, he's just in a wheelchair now.
Yes, he's in a wheelchair and he's got can't get the word out. Fuck it. Rewind. Oh, Jesus. And then they've put an ad out in the Daily Prophet saying that Harry's wanted for questioning in Dumbledore's death.
Voldemort's entirely taken over the ministry, and his puppet minister is Penis Thickness.
Yeah. Penis Thickness.
Good old Girth.
Yeah. Girth.
Girth.
Him and Downroariously were getting along famously. Oh, he enjoyed all his stories about summering on the continent.
Yes.
That's how I imagine Downroariously does. Just imagine him in his, a colonizer outfit, sailing around the Nile.
I say, these folks look terribly uncivilized. Where's my armada? But yeah, the accusation of Harry is, the big public accusation of Harry is a tactic to sow discontent among any resistance that might have otherwise rallied around him.
Yeah, and Lupin, and then Harry's doesn't everyone know that Voldemort's kind of the one doing this, blah, blah, blah. And Lupin is he says that the coup has been silent and that Voldemort, for all intents and purposes, is the new minister. He doesn't need to, come forward and declare himself minister
because that would open it up to potential rebellions and stuff.
Yeah, which is very clever of Voldemort.
Yeah, he's playing a smart game.
Yeah.
Attendance to Hogwarts is now compulsory, which is another because Muggleborns are now being rounded up because they're now deemed to have stolen their magical power from a witch or wizard.
Yeah, and they want to register them all. So yeah, Lupin's look, if you need help on this mission, which you're not going to tell me about, are you? And Harry's no. He's if you need help, I can help. If you want help, Harry, serious help, I can help. Did I say that I can help? Harry, I can help. Harry's I don't want your help. And he's but I want to help. And Hermione's can everyone just stop saying help? He's fine, I'll say play instead. Harry, I want to play.
You want to play?
Lupin, not in front of my friends. Yeah. unless you guys are okay to watch. Everyone's like, I mean, okay. Lupin's like, wunderbar. And Hermione's like, what did you just say? Oh, God.
Well, this talk of purebloods is getting me all excited.
Yes, Harry, I want to try out my new move. It's called Howly Howly Mr. McFowley. Okay. Hermione, here's a paper cut out of a full moon. I want you to hold it up in the corner. Harry, here's your blindfold and your mouth gag.
And Ron, prepare the wolfy condoms.
Yeah. Ah. Anyway, I don't know how it comes up, but Lupin's like, look, Tonks is pregnant, so she can't. Oh, that's it, because they're like, oh, don't you want to stay with Tonks and stuff? And he's like, well, no, she's gone to stay with her parents, so she'll be fine and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's something like resigned in Lupin's look.
Yeah, and there's something, he's like being quite cold and dismissive about it, and Harry's, they're all like, wait, what's going on? Well, how are you just leaving her with your baby and stuff? And he's like, the baby's going to be like me. I've made a terrible mistake. I didn't want to marry Tonks in the first place, if you remember rightly. I was forced to. I fucking hate her.
She said she had the cure, and it turns out she didn't have a cure. She's a snake oil salesman, if ever I saw one, Harry. Her and her bubblegum pink hair. She turns her muff that colour too, Harry.
What's a muff?
Well, Harry, well, a wolf and a metamorph, I love each other very much. Oh, God, I'm not funny today. Anyway.
Just, oh, fuck it. Hermione, show him your muff.
What do you mean you haven't got one? Oh, it's the German look. Okay. That would be like extra hairy, I think, wouldn't it?
I guess so.
Because I think the European tradition at that time was to, you wouldn't shave your armpits or your legs.
Yeah.
So I guess you let everything grow. But Hermione's like, that's the old ways. The new ways, or Neo, as I like to call them. Everything comes off and you put them in a jar.
Yes, the men do skinhead. Women do skin bottom. So anyway, basically Harry fucking flies off the handle at Lupin.
Yeah, he's like, how dare you leave your baby? And Lupin's like, but don't you see, it's going to be a mutant baby with five eyes and a wolf's head and wolf's bum and a goat's forehead and blah, blah, blah.
I can't stand to look at it, Harry. It's disgusting.
Yes, it should have been. I should have drowned it at birth. I should have taken it out of Tonks' vag, threw it into the ravine and fucking chummed the water and hoped a shark would have come along, Harry. Oh, God. But she hasn't had the baby yet, so...
But I think pretty sure it's going to be a chimera. Yeah.
And then, so Lupin, like, Harry's like, yeah, I think you're a fucking coward. I think you're shit for leaving your baby. And Lupin zaps him and then storms out.
He does. He zaps him good.
So yeah, then Harry looks at the paper and there's another excerpt from it, from Rita Skeeter's book.
Yeah, and it talks about how the Dumbledores moved to Godric's Hollow and shut themselves away because of squib shame.
Oh, Ariana Grande. So... Can you imagine if that's what it was? That she was like, oh, I gave birth to a pop star. So much shame on the family.
She does something in the Muggle world now. Some sort of performance artist. I'm too ashamed.
Oh, God. Anyway, then crack.
You got crack?
Always. That's why I'm so jubilant. No fucking creature appears with Mundungus.
Yes. And there's a little bit of a kerfuffle with Mundungus going, what the bloody hell's going on here, eh?
Yeah, and then Harry's like, look, who was your daddy and what did he do? And no, he's like, look, where is the locket? And Mundungus is like, what fucking locket? He's like, the one that you stole from Sirius.
And creature just comes and whacks him over the head with a saucepan.
Oh, yeah. I love Creature in this book. I think he's awesome.
Once he starts getting more like friendly towards Harry, he's quite funny.
And then Mundungus is like, look, I haven't got a locket anymore. I got caught selling like counterfeit goods or whatever, or stolen goods. And the woman who was there, she saw the locket and said she'll let me go if I let her have that. And they're like, what does she look like? And it's like, oh, I don't know. She was like a short woman and had like a bow in her head, face like a toad.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh my God, oh my God. Put your fanny in my face. Oh my God. Pink cardigan.
That's what the muffliato spell really is.
Yeah, you just conjure like this weird sort of like disembodied vash that just covers the target's head. And like, oh, it's got all dark and I can't see. Oh, am I at the seaside? Anyway, we hurtle headlong into chapter 12. Magic is Mighty Ducks.
Magic is to might.
Magic is Mary. Magic is Mickey Mouse. Magic is... what's another M-word? McDonald's. Magic is Monkey. There we go. That's what it should have been called.
Yes, that would have made far more sense.
Yeah, they get to the ministry and there's just a fucking massive statue of a monkey just going...
with a wand in its hand, just like... Oh?
Yeah. And Voldemort's like, you see, I believe that magic is monkey.
And everyone's like, right, scribbling down notes.
Yeah, so give a wand to a monkey and it'll write Shakespeare. Well, it's already written, why do you need a monkey?
Look, magic is monkey.
Yes, give him a banana too. A banana in one hand, a wand in the other. And I want him to wear a graduation cap.
What are you not understanding about my plan?
So yeah, I absolutely love that. Magic is monkey.
And then like, no, what none of his Death Eaters fully understand.
Yeah. I mean, they sit down at a table one day and there's just like a chimp in the corner. And I was like, I want to introduce you to the newest member of our society. His name is Bubbles.
Yaxley, how are the banana shipments?
Oh, everybody look, he's flinging his feces. Okay, let's all join in. Everyone's like, no, come on, everyone, take down your trousers. If you just squat and push, I'm sure there's something you'll come out. Squat and push and poop in your hand. Throw it across, I'm sure it'll be grand. Look at the monkey, he's doing it too. Magic is monkey, I love you. And everyone's like, I think he's lost the plot. Oh my God. Oh, God. Yeah.
The meeting's adjourned. He just goes, magic is monkey. They all let go back. Magic is monkey.
Yeah, no. So over the next couple of weeks, they sort of start planning out how exactly they're hoping to retrieve the locket. And Creature's all like clean and bathed and stuff now, or bathed rather. No, I suppose you would say bathed, right?
Yeah.
Let's just say he's clean. Creature's clean. He's got cotton wool coming out of his ears and his nose looks like a shiny penny.
The shiny penny.
Yeah.
He cut it off and he stuck the locket there.
Oh, do you think he wears the locket in the bath?
I think he wears the locket all the time.
Yeah, me too.
We don't want to know what Creature's done with it.
I mean, it has quite a long chain, so you could pull it quite far up before you lost sight of it. And if you pull it out quick enough.
I didn't know what you... I was like, put it up? Up where?
Harry comes down to get like some hot chocolate in the middle of the night and he just peeks into the kitchen, just sees Creature just ripping the locket out of his rectum. and just like orgasming across the floor. And Harry's like,
room for a smaller one?
Like, oh, master, you see the creature doing his whoopsie. But yeah, they're getting the papers and stuff, and Snape's now headmaster of Hogwarts, and the Carrows are like assistant headmaster or something. They're on the faculty.
Yes, Electo Caro is the new Muggle Studies teacher, and her brother Amicus is Defense Against the Dark Arts.
That's it. Have we met the Carrows before?
They were on the roof when Dumbledore died, on the astronomy tower when Dumbledore died, I think.
Okay. And then Hermione says that she's taken the portrait of Phineas Nigelus off the wall.
Oh yeah, when the topic of Hogwarts headmaster comes up, Hermione goes, Merlin's pants! And runs off upstairs.
Merlin probably didn't even have pants.
I mean, do any wizards? If I was wearing robes, I'm not sure I'd wear pants. Just for the excitement.
I don't know. I guess not. If you had like enough layers, you'd be like, what is the point?
Yeah.
But what if you stood over like a grate that had like wind coming out of it?
Just do a Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
That's the excitement.
Do you remember that fucking advert for, I think for Scottish Oats or something? And the advert was the guy on the cereal box. Him like walking down the street and it's saying how good oats were for you. And it's like the middle of winter or something. And then he passes a woman and he walks over like a steam grate and his kilt flies up and she looks down at like his tackle. And then he like winks at her and then like carries on walking.
No, I do not remember that advert.
Yeah, and it's like fucking porridge. Have it.
Scottish oats. Get your tackle out.
Yeah, put some Scottish oats in your mouth. It's like, okay.
Show your penis to women on the street.
But yeah, I was like, fucking hell, like, that's so bananas that they had that. And it wasn't even like a nighttime ad, it was beyond like any time of day. Wow,
yeah. Scottish oats. Flash them all.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna call them from now on.
Call what?
Litesticle.
Oh, what, the Scottish oats?
Yeah. Anyway, why are we talking about
Because Hermione said Merlin's pants.
That's it.
And she runs off upstairs and brings back the painting of Phineas Nigelus because it's linked to the headmaster's office in Hogwarts and crams it into her bag so that it won't see anything.
Yeah, crams it into her bag. She's like, oh, it won't fit, Harry. And he's like, just push harder.
Ron, fetch the butter.
Yeah.
It's got some knobbly edges.
Oh, maybe we should do a spell. Okay, Engorgio. No, the wrong one, yeah. Harry! Ah!
So I was trying to cast that on your fanny.
Hermione. Can you imagine, like, if she had put that, like, charm that's on the bag on her fanny? So, like, she just, like, slots it in and you hear just, like, a loud, like, clunk as it hits, like, the bottom.
Which is sort of, like, a sort of moist.
Yeah. She's like, okay, so I've got all the books in there. I've got spare clothes, the painting, a tent.
Like desperately rummaging in there for essence of Dittany later on. Just like squatting down and elbow deep.
Harry watching her like defy the laws of physics as she like kind of goes inside herself.
She's rolled up like a woodlass.
She pulls the tent out and she's like, sorry, it's a bit sticky. Oh, God. Anyway, but yeah, because she doesn't want... No, she's trying to put the paint... She puts the painting in her magic bag And she's like, I don't want him being able to like see what's going on in the house, because at least this way, if he like, if Snape does send him to come and spy on us, all we'll be able to see is the inside of the bag.
Yes.
All he'll be able to see is my sugar walls. So then the trio start talking about their plans to get into the ministry to retrieve a locket off of Umbridge.
Yeah, they've been watching the ministry entrance for Umbridge, and they're talking about infiltrating the ministry, and Harry's like, I think we should do it tomorrow. We're as prepared as we're going to be. We know where her office is because we heard some guy talking about it. We know how you get in with like certain coins or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember. They say something about, can't remember if they're talking about getting in or getting into Umbridge's office. No, it must be how you get into the ministry with these special coins or something.
Maybe it's like ever since the thingy took over, they have coins or something.
Yeah, maybe you need them to get into like the bathroom stall. Maybe I just missed that.
Yeah, maybe. One thing I thought is that it's, why would they assume that the ministry is the best place to look for the locket and not Umbridge's house?
Yeah, it is. That is kind of weird, isn't it? I had sort of forgotten that I remembered that they broke into the ministry, but I didn't think it was this like soon, and it happened this like immediately. Because I was thinking, once they found out it's Umbridge, like, what would I do? Find where she lives, go in there and fucking subdue her and get the locket off her.
Yeah, like, you would like search the house for it, and if you couldn't find it in the house, you'd assume she has it on her. Right? So then you'd wait for her to come home.
Yeah. But then if they don't know where she lives, you can't, like, track... She obviously apparates to and from Ministry or with the flu network.
I guess so. But, I mean, there must be record of Ministry employees' homes. So maybe that would have been a better thing to, like, put in if they needed to get into the Ministry to find out where she lived. Because if I was looking for someone, for like a bit of jewellery that someone had stolen, or anything really, I wouldn't think first to go to their place of work.
Yeah, no, me neither. It's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought that was a bit... And I've never thought of that until this time. I was like, why are they deciding to go there first? Because Harry makes such a big thing about having to do it now and stuff, because the locket might be here or there or anywhere... If they don't act soon, I'm like, well, why would you go to her place of work? It's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, Harry gets head pain.
Yes. Hermione's just using too much teeth. No, he gets pain in his scar.
Yeah, and he has to excuse himself to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. And then he closes his eyes and has a vision of gliding along a street. And arrives at a door and is looking for Gregorovitch.
Yeah, and a woman, like, opens the door, smiling, and then sees it's him and tries to shut it. And then he's like, where's Gregorovitch? And she's like, oh, I know not. He not live here.
Yes.
And then he's like, tell me where he is. And he's like, I don't know. And then he forces his way in, and, like, two, like, kids appear in the hallway with her, and she, like, tries to shield them, and Voldemort kills them all.
Yeah. And then Ron and Hermione are all like, Harry, mate. You alright, mate? You're bloody screaming and shouting in there.
He's like, yeah, I'm fine. I just got something stuck. It's fine. And I was like, oh, do you need some assistance? He's like, I mean, yeah, kind of. And they go in and they go, oh, Harry, not the toilet brush again.
Oh.
He's like, I just wanted to be extra clean.
I had to sanitise my insides.
Jesus told me to. Oh, God. And Hermione's like, look, Harry, we know you've been having visions. Like, you need to block out your mind. And Harry's like, I can't. Plus, I like knowing what Voldemort was up to.
Yes.
You know, and they sort of have like a back and forth about it. And it kind of goes nowhere, really.
Yeah, he tells them why Voldemort is looking for Gregorovitch, because he's, you know, Ollivander didn't know what happened with his wand, and maybe Gregorovitch would, and etc., etc.
So then they go over the plan that night, and then the next morning they go to the ministry.
Yeah. Dawn seemed to follow midnight with indecent haste. I quite like that.
Really?
Yeah. They go out onto the front step of the house, which is where you have to apparate to and from, and then Hermione disapparates first with Ron and then comes back for Harry. And I'm like, why did they do it like that?
Yeah, that is weird.
Because they can apparate all three of them together.
Because they couldn't all fit under the cloak. That's why.
Yeah, so maybe they, yeah, just take two of them there, find a place to stash Ron, and then come back with the cloak for Harry.
Yeah, maybe. That's probably it. So yeah, they hide in this alleyway and stuff next to like the door that leads into the back of this theater.
Yes, and they ambush a ministry witch when she arrives.
Yeah, Mafalda Hopkirk.
Yes.
Mafalda Hop on my Kirk.
Hop on my Captain Kirk.
No, or they just got like a really weird accent. It's like Mafalda Hop on my Kirk.
She's like... Hop on your... On your what? My Kirk.
Well, will you at least sack my Kirk? No, you filthy man, I get away. Like, oh, Mafalda. I thought we were in love. Anyway, no, yes, yeah, so she appears out of nowhere and they stun her, steal her hair and transform Hermione into her.
Yeah, and put her body, her unconscious body into the theatre.
Yeah.
And then the next guy who arrives is Reg Catamol, and they, Hermione acts as Mafalda Hopkirk, and insists he has a suite, and he throws up and is all ill and sends him home. And I'm like, just fucking...
That was so stupid.
So stupid. I'm like, and I know they say, like, oh, maybe we should have just stunned him as well. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, I think a pile of unconscious bodies might draw some attention.
Well, one unconscious body is going to fucking draw attention.
No more attention than one unconscious body lying in the floor. If they see one unconscious body, they're going to see... If they... Ah, yeah, it's dumb.
Yeah, the final wizard to appear is Ron Korn.
Yeah, Harry and... No. Ron and Hermione run off and leave Harry for like 10 minutes. And then they run back with some hair. And they're like, we don't know who he is, but he's gone home for the day with a bad nosebleed.
Well, it's like we're going to get home, cure it with a spell, and then fucking come back, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, why would he need to even go home to do that?
Yeah.
These people are like top level, you know. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they work. Oh, God, these kids are so dumb.
They're using like joke shop sweets.
Yeah, it's just so fucking... If they, wait, what's that spell that you do? Disillusionment, that's it. They should have put them all in a pile in the theater then just done a disillusionment charm on them.
Yeah. Also, how the fuck did Mafalda Hopkirk and Reg Catamol, two, like, not particularly high-up ministry employees, convince Runcorn, this really, like, intimidating high-authority figure, to eat a bit of, like, nougat?
I was thinking that, too. I thought that was ridiculous.
Yeah, the way they... I mean, obviously, it's just for a bit of variety, so they're not, you know, for the story, I guess. But it makes no fucking sense. They should have just stunned all three of them.
Yeah. And also, if you... were sick or had nosebleed, like, because it happens pretty like instantaneously, I would assume it was because of the thing I just had.
Yeah, you would suspect maybe that. Okay, this is not how the human body works. Like, this stuff doesn't just spring out of nowhere. This is probably some kind of magic, because I live in a magic world, and this very uncharacteristically someone has just insisted that I eat this thing. It's like
exactly that. It's so stupid. See, this is what I was saying when we started this book. There's so many things just fucking piss me off because it's stupid.
Yeah.
What's stupid backwards? Dipust?
No, Diputz.
Diputz. Diputz. It's Diputz. Yeah. Fucking. Anyway, so they transform Harry into Runcorn. Then they go into like some public loos, stand in the toilet bowl, and they flush themselves into the ministry.
Someone recognises Ron's character and he's all like, oh, it's ridiculous, they're making us all come in this way, isn't it? And Ron's like, oh, yeah, bloody stupid.
Yeah, so they get into the ministry and the first thing they see is a huge statue of a massive monkey. Now they see two fucking... It's a statue of two wizards, like a witch and a wizard, on thrones that are... look like they are made out of the bodies of muggles.
Yeah.
Or like carved with like torturous expressions on their face and shit.
Sitting on naked muggles.
Yeah, which is like, that's a bit strong. Like,
it's a bit, come on, Voldemort. That's a bit strong, mate.
But to install that like a week after you take over, like, and you're trying to operate covertly, people are going to know something's amiss, you know?
Yeah.
Like...
That's true. But what does magic is monkey mean?
Monkey see, monkey do. Anyway, so Yaxley appears.
Yeah, and he's all like, it's still raining in my office, Catamole. And Ron's all like, oh, is it? Sorry, mate. He's like, you know, I'm on my way down to interrogate your wife, Catamole. If I was you, if I know the head of whatever law enforcement wanted a job doing, I'd make that my top priority.
Yes, fix my office and buy me a chaise lounge, cover it in quality streets, and buy me a feather duster.
Not the green triangles. I swear to God, Catamole.
Anything but the green triangles. Your wife will definitely be a muggle boy if I see a green triangle. But if you kick me a toffee penny.
They last the longest, you know.
Also, go down to Argos and get me a muggle camcorder. I want to film it all. Me, my feather duster, my toffee penny on my chaise lounge. And he gets like a faraway look in his eyes.
Do you want to see my toffee penny, Catamol?
Do you want to see my strawberry cream? And yeah, he's like, make it stop raining. And then he fucks off, and then Ron's like, how the fuck do I do that?
Yeah, Hermione gives him some stuff to try. They get in the lift, and Hermione's like whispering some stuff to Ron to try to make it stop raining. And she's almost about to say, oh, I should go with Ron. I don't think he knows what he's doing. And then the lift doors open, and it's Toadface.
Yeah, Toady McToadface and her fluffy minge.
And her puss.
I can't remember what her deal was. I mean, the deal that we gave her, I can't remember if we had like a theme.
Sherbet.
Was it?
She had a sherbet minge.
That's it, yeah, because I remember she tried to put it on Harry when she was interrogating him. Because I remember you like you doing the sound effect of poof, of when like the cloud of dust of like sherbet came out. Sherbet minge. Can you imagine? Sort of like a Victorian dandy going into like his local oldie sweet shop and being like, I'll have £3 of your sherbet mint, please. Like, certainly, sir. Oh, God, fucking hell. Anyway, we fucking somersault into chapter 13, the Muggle-born Registration Commission.
Yes. So Umbridge gets into the lift and is like, ah, Mafalda, you'll do nicely. You can come down to record keep for the trials. And Runcorn, aren't you getting out? And Harry's like, oh, yeah, so of course.
Yeah, he gets out of the lift and then he sets off to find Umbridge's office because he wants to see if the locket is there.
Yeah, he has a little interaction with the new minister, with Girth.
Yeah, so he bumps into Pius Thicknesse and Thicknesse is like, well done on that thing against the thing.
He's like, you're going to have to be more specific.
No, you know that thing of the thingy thing? You know, with Mr. Thing and Mrs. Thing. And their two kids, Little Thing and Little Lucy Lou Thing.
And he's like, oh, yes, yes, the things.
Yeah, it's a monstrous couple. I'm glad they're dead. Anyway. And I'm wondering if Pius Thicknesse is only a cunt because he's been imperioed or if he was, like, bent that way anyway.
Yeah, I guess we don't know, do we?
Yeah, I'm curious. Anyway, so Harry finds Umbridge's office and there's, like, it's the office and then sort of, like, rows and rows of desks outside the office with ministry workers who are all creating pamphlets.
Pamphlets, yeah.
Yeah, pamphlets. Yeah, and the pamphlets are called Mudbloods and the dangers they pose. Or something.
Yeah. So Harry's like, I need to get these. He's under the invisibility cloak.
Yeah.
And he's all like, he gets out a little, what are they called? The little horny toys.
It's called a vibrator.
It's a lapin rampant.
Yeah, he gets out a fucking chain of anal beads, does like a slingshot kind of thing.
Pops them up, bends over and goes, poof.
And as Harry was not douched, a fucking water full of shit flies out and hits the face of the nearest ministry worker. She screams, runs to the back of the room, flies through the window and crashes down into the atrium below.
Harry thinks that'll make a fine distraction. So he goes up to the door of Umbridge's office and sees that there's a familiar looking blue swivelly eye. There's a googly eye on the door.
Yeah, and he's like, "Ah, oh, it's Moody's eye."
Yoink.
Which I thought was so dumb, and it ruins everything. But anyway, so yeah, he slips into the office. And...
what, it ruins everything that he takes the eye?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember that.
Yeah, that's how they fucking know that there's intruders in the ministry, because the eye's missing.
I did think, like, she's going to see that eye was missing.
Just, fuckery. So he gets into the office and has a little rummage.
Gets in there, has a good old rummage. he finds Arthur Weasley's file. And
yeah.
It's all like, this guy's a cunt and he's ginger.
He's a ginger cunt. He's a gunt. But it's like a special, like a fold in the filing cabinet that just says gunts. It's like, yeah. It's Arthur Weasley.
Lily Potter, but she's got a big red X through her name.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it says that he's being tracked because he's known to have connections to undesirable number one.
Yes. And he often comes into work with mysterious gravy stains on his robes.
Yes. And with various teeth missing and donkey ears.
All the signs are there.
All of the signs of being a massive gunt. Oh god. Yeah, and then Harry sees that there's like a poster of him that says undesirable number one, like of him, Harry, across like the bottom of it.
Yeah,
he's like fuck. A copy of the Rita Skeeter's book on the wall, on the top of a shelf or something.
Yes, a copy of The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore. So he opens it to a random page, and then like the door opens and Girth comes in.
Mm. And it happened, and Harry's like, he was lucky that Girth had been looking the other way, because if he hadn't, he would have seen Harry trying to put the invisibility cloak on. Which I'm thinking, why did he take it off in the first place?
Yeah. Why does he ever take it off? Later, in a minute, he gets back into the lift and takes it off. And I'm like, why? Don't take it off.
Yeah, just keep it on, Harry. And apply that phrase to everything in your life. If ever you're unsure, Harry, just remember, keep it on.
Never take it off.
Yeah. If it's cold outside and you're like, no, that doesn't work. I should have started with a different temperature. Oh, good.
I got my temperatures mixed up. Warm and cold.
Sorry, I was trying to convert from Fahrenheit to Celsius. It all went Pete Tong.
This is no time for salad.
Yeah. So here's a warm bit of lettuce.
This bit of lettuce is 32 degrees.
And I'm going to transfer it to this fridge. We got to wait 33 minutes exactly.
This is like Hagrid's behind the scenes at Hagrid's restaurant.
Yeah. Now featuring culinary delights from Pete Tong. So while we're waiting for the lettuce to cool, I'm going to show you my collection of stamps. Well, I can't show you because we're on the radio, but I'm going to describe each one to you. It's like, oh, fucking hell.
Turn that house music off.
Yeah. Yeah, I brought my mother in. She's going to play some lovely seaside piano music. So, gling, 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 gling. Here's a stamp from 1852. Oh, God.
Her fingers are a bit big for the keys, but she tries.
Mum, I need 33 minutes exactly. Thank you very much.
So Harry sneaks around Girth as he starts writing a note for Umbridge, and he gets out thinking, right, Lockett's not here. This is kind of a, they hadn't really taken into account what would happen if they got separated. This is a bust. Let's just GTFO. So he gets in the lift and pulls off the invisibility cloak for some reason.
Ugh, like a fucking fung dark. like a fucking gunt. And
speaking of gunts, lift doors open up and it's Ron.
Yeah, I wrote, he gets into the lift and Ron comes in all wet and soppy.
All wet and soppy.
And then they have a little back and forth and he's like, oh, I've got to go and get something else. I can't make it stop raining.
Yeah. And then Arthur comes into the lift.
Yeah.
Speaking with a couple of others and they're all like, oop.
Yeah, like, in this whole bit, there was, I wish that, well, because there's a moment where Harry and Arthur are alone. And I wish that Harry just revealed himself.
I know. I was thinking that. That would have been awesome. Just been like, look, I'm Harry. Polyjuice potioned. Hermione's stuck in court proceedings. She's Mafalda Hopkirk. We need to get her out. Can you help? Like, no time to explain what we're doing here kind of thing. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, and it just seems like a wasted opportunity.
Yeah.
I thought. But alas. Ron leaves. Then Percy gets in. And Percy and Arthur ignore each other. Then when Percy gets out, Harry's about to follow him. And then Arthur, like, puts his arm across the way.
Yeah, it's all like, I hear you gave information on Dirk Cresswell. And Harry's all like, what? And he's like, don't play dumb with me. You turned his old family in because he said he was going to, I don't know, vote in against something or something.
Mm.
He's like, oh, so what if I did? And Arthur's like, he's 10 times the wizard you are. And when he gets out of Azkaban, you're going to have to answer to him and his family. And then you're fucked, mate.
Yeah, and it's like, Arthur, like, this guy's obviously a pretty big deal, like...
Yeah, like, you're asking to get yourself thrown away.
Yeah, maybe him and Arthur were friends in school, so maybe that's why he's got a bit of, like, you know, he thinks he can say what he wants kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Because otherwise, I can't... There would have had to have been a sort of a degree of familiarity that's beyond just, like, work colleague, I feel, for Arthur to... get above his station like that.
Yeah. I mean,
especially in these times.
Yeah. Like, for me, this bit of Arthur confronting Runcorn is almost like, it is a clear moment. I'm trying to think of a word. I can't find it, but it's like really like demonstrates the difference between real life people and characters in books. Because when we're reading a book and we're reading about characters in a book, if Arthur had just ignored Runcorn and just kind of kept his head down and got on with what he needed to do, the sensible thing that most people in real life would have done, what that actually says about the character in a book is that he's kind of, it puts him paints him a little bit cowardly, and like but the whole good guy fight is standing up in the face of this evil, and having Arthur confront him there just kind of reinforces that he is on the side of the good guys, even though like it's not a particularly sensible thing to do for a real life person. I think it's about painting Arthur's character. I think it's a character moment for Arthur, I think.
For me, though, it seems so out of character. I think that's what bothered me the most.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because Arthur's not an idiot. And it seemed like a very... If it was, like, say, Sirius who done that...
Yeah.
I would think it was stupid, but that's something that Sirius would do. With Arthur, Arthur's not the kind of man who would do something that might endanger his family.
Yeah, I know what you mean, actually, because it's not like Lupin would have done it like that.
Yeah, exactly. So it just seems so out of character, which I think is why I thought that's so bizarre.
Yeah, maybe you're right, actually. Maybe it is out of character.
Yeah, so Harry says, Arthur, you know you're being tracked, don't you? Then Arthur's like, is that a threat? And I was like, well, no, clearly not.
And then he just walks off, giving him the shifty eyes.
Yeah.
All confused. And Harry's like, fucking gunt.
Then Harry's like, Arthur, Arthur. And Arthur turns around and Harry's stuck his finger through his zipper. He's like, and then the lift descends and Harry just waves.
Magic is monkey.
That might be my favourite thing that we've ever come up with.
There it is again. Gifton's catchphrase.
It's not my fault that we keep on reaching new heights.
That'd be great for some merch, though.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I can kind of see it already. Oh, lovely merch that no one will buy. Anyway, yeah. So... So Harry puts the cloak back on as the lift descends, and he's heading to the courtroom because he's heard that... No, because he knows that Hermione is in the court proceedings with Umbridge.
Yes, and desperately trying to think about how he can get her out. And as he like descends further and further down, the cold, a sort of somewhat familiar coldness starts to settle in on him. So Harry gets down to the court proceedings, and he sees a bunch of there's like Muggleborns lined up outside. Well, what he assumes are Muggleborns waiting to be tried, lined up outside the courtroom. And a man gets taken out through the doors being like, no, I'm half blood, you can check my family. No one gives a shit.
Yeah. And then so Harry follows, like he ducks into the door. No, what's her name gets brought in?
Mary Cattermole.
Mary Cattermole, yeah. And he follows her in and he sees Umbridge up on like a plinth with a spooky cat beside her. Yaxley and Hermione / Mafalda. Hermalda.
Yes.
Hermalda Hopgranger.
Gropkirk.
Gropkirk. Hermalda Gropkirk.
Grop my kirk.
I love when you grop my kirk. Hermalda Hyde Grop my kirk. There we go.
So, yeah, there's the cat Patronus is like kind of walking up and down, patrolling in front of where like the judges are all sat, protecting them from the Dementors' coldness. Yeah, and she's all like, does this just one description sound familiar? And she's like, yeah, that's my one. She's like, which or wizard did you steal this from? She's like, no, I didn't take it. I chose me Ollivanders. And she's like, liar.
Yes, you're a Muggleborn, and Muggleborns don't have magic. They steal it from unsuspecting witches in the middle of the night, under a full moon, and when someone's left the freezer door open. Like what? You know, you creep into the house, you make sure the freezer door's open, you turn off all the lights, then you turn the bath tap on, the cold one, not the hot, and you leave it running. Then you sneak into the room, and you get your grubby little hands all over their little wand, and then you take it like a little sneak thief, then you put it into your pocket, then you jump in the bath, and then you splish around like an orca.
Screaming, magic is monkey, and bing bang boom, you're a witch. We all know how the ritual is carried out.
Yeah. And she's like, no, that's not true, that's not true. And Umbridge is like, I saw you do it.
I was there in the freezer.
Yeah. What you didn't know when you was running that bath is that I was having a bowel movement on the toilet beside it. I saw everything. It was hard to focus as I had a particularly knobbly one that day. But as I strained, I saw you making your orca noises in the tub. What do orcas make? Like that sound?
That was pretty good.
So yeah, and Mary Cattermole denies all of this, and then Harry, under his invisibility cloak, has run up to where Hermione is, and he's like, Hermione,
He whispers like, I'm behind you. And Hermione feels the familiar prod in her back.
Yeah. It's like, oh, Harry, oh, God, I can't think of anything. Fucking hell. Who knew dick jokes would be so hard?
And redeemed. And he's back.
But yeah, like, does Hermione point out the necklace, or does Harry say, Hermione, look, she's got the necklace on or something?
So Umbridge is like leaning over and the necklace falls out, and then she comes and then she's like, we can prove it, we can prove your, let's check your papers. And she goes over to Hermalda and is like, Rick, fetch the papers for Mary Cattermole, or maybe she gets Hermione to go over to her or something. And then Hermione says, oh, that's a nice locket. I think she notices it for herself as well. And she's like, yes, thank you. The S stands for Selby, an old family heirloom.
I don't think it's Selby. It's something like Selwyn, I think.
Oh, is it that?
Yeah, Selwyn or Slattery or Slutface McBun Chops.
Or Sherbet.
Yeah, Strawberry Sherbet, a double S.
Mine is like SS, intriguing.
And Hermione turns to Harry and she's like, Harry, I think we've been fighting on the wrong side. And Harry's like, no, Hermione, remember your heart is in here. And then Harry seizes his moment and he goes stupefy and thingies Umbridge.
Yeah, he can't take it anymore and just says, fuck it. Stupefies her, and then he actually goes to get his wand out, but isn't quick enough. He stupefies him as well.
He goes down to help. He says, Hermione, grab the locket. He goes down to help Mary out of the things because the cat has disappeared, so the Dementors are descending upon them. And then Harry's like, Hermione, hurry up. And she's like, hold on, I'm trying something. I'm going to try and duplicate the locket so she doesn't notice it's gone. So she goes, she does like the Gemino charm, I think, to duplicate it. And I thought that's weird that you can do that on a Horcrux. Even though the duplication won't be a Horcrux, it's weird that you can do that to something that magically enchanted.
And if it's that easy, why didn't Regulus do it? And why did he make that shitty, like, locket that is clearly a fake?
Yeah.
Oh, I suppose he didn't actually have the locket.
Yeah, yeah, I was about to say that, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought that was odd. So Harry conjures a stag Patronus.
Gets his stag out.
Yeah, and Hermione gets her little slippy otter out. And then they grab Mary, who's obviously confused because Ron Corn was the one who fucking sent her to this.
Like brought her in, yeah.
Yeah.
And they tell her to get out of the country if they can. If you like, you get your kids and go into hiding. Get out of the country if you need to. Just get as far away from the ministry as possible. And they bust out through the courtroom doors and grab the remaining Muggleborns. And they're all like, "Who's got a wand? Get your wands out. We're leaving. Yeah. It's been decided that you all need to leave the country."
Which, when you're a wizard, is a lot easier than if you're a Muggle.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we had a discussion about wizard passports and stuff like that once.
I think in book 4.
Yeah, about what the deal is with like overseas travel. Because there's also, you can't just apparate like an infinite range. Only because I remember, like, I feel like the only time, I don't know if it's ever explicitly said, but there's a bit that I always remember noticing is when Harry has a vision of Voldemort flying overseas, flying over an ocean. He says he'll be within range to apparate soon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there must be, yeah, because otherwise you'd probably end up in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
But that's weird then, because I would get that if apparition meant you travelled by air, but from the way it sounds like you cross into, because the way teleportation works in most science fiction things is like that you cross into a different dimension and then kind of exit back into this dimension at a different place.
Yeah.
And that's how apparition seems to work. So really, the distance shouldn't actually matter.
I guess not, but we don't really know anything about the specifics of this other dimension or how traveling through it works. So it's like hard to say.
Maybe it's if it's too far, you can't survive in that dimension because it's like a crushing sensation, isn't it? And that kind of thing. So maybe if you spend too long in it, it's too, like, it might kill you.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Yeah, maybe you could try and apparate to the moon, but you'd just die.
Yeah. I reckon that's like a plausible thing. That seems to make sense, I reckon.
Yeah, all right, let's go with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they run up the stairs and then Harry sort of thinks like, fuck, what are we going to do with all these people if we just merge into the atrium? And then Ron appears in the lift and Mrs. Cattermole is like, oh my God, I can't believe you're here. Let's make out in front of strangers.
And Ron's like, oh, what?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll take it, but I can get it, mate. So they make everyone form like a ring around them.
Hermione, are you watching?
Yeah.
Watch how she covers her teeth with her lips.
All right, everyone put on your 3D specs. Yeah, and then he tells Harry, look, the ministry knows that there's intruders here because something about a hole in Umbridge's door.
Oh, right, like,
oh,
yeah.
Harry, you fucking...
Umbridge in her glory holes again.
Yeah, someone put a penis through that she recognized. She knew it was a traitor penis.
Someone's been dipping their dib dab.
Yeah. Oh, good. What a great series of, like, erotic pulp fiction that'd be, traitor penis. Just setting different sort of, like...
Its calling card is like a mysterious hole in the wall.
And it's set in like the Soviet Union. So yeah, they get into the atrium and they're going to try and run to the fireplaces. And as they get out of the lift, they see that all the fireplaces are being sealed.
Yeah, and Harry steals all, gathers all he can, any sort of authoritative sense that he can from being Runcorn still.
Yeah.
And goes up to the guy that's sealing the exits and is all like, mate, let us out.
He's like, oh, please, mate, please, please.
I'll kill your family.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, if you don't let us out, I'll start an investigation into your bloodline and blah, 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 blah.
Like I did with Dirk Cresswell.
Yeah, like I did with Dick Crosswell.
Dick Crosswords.
Dick Crosswords. It's a new series of game pamphlets I'm trying to make. It's not going well, you see. When you get to crosswords, there's only so many amount of words for dick that there are. You have dick, penis, pee-pee, schlong, tallywhacker. Oh, I guess there's more than I thought. Okay. Everyone, it's back on, guys. It's back on. Anyway, so Harry gets all the others out. And then the real Reg Catmull appears.
Yeah, and sees himself and is like, huh? What's going on? And doesn't think he's going mad, rendering our explanation of why they had to be so careful with the time turner in book 3 completely moot and pointless.
Oh my god, you're so right! Fuck yeah! Oh, fuck, no, I can't even.
Yeah, I know. Let's not fully go back there. I just thought I'd point that out.
So yeah, so like the wife is obviously confused. And then Yaxley appears.
Yeah, chasing them up out of the courtroom.
Yeah, and he's like, seal the thingies. And then Runcorn, does he turn to the wizard who's doing it, who's obviously confused, and he just knocks him out. And Ron seizes that opportunity to grab Mary and go up. Harry and Hermione follow, and they go up. And then once they arrive in the bathroom, they see Mary trying to grab onto Ron, saying, oh, Reg, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'm not your husband. And then they hear someone else arrive in the toilet. So Harry grabs Hermione and they try to apparate away. And as they're apparating, Harry knows that something's wrong and he sees the front door of Grimmauld Place. As he does, he feels Hermione's hand slip and her scream. Then he sees like a flash of purple light and then everything goes dark.
And then end of chapter.
Yeah. End of chapter. It's fucking all very exciting stuff. Very exciting.
Yeah, and this is at the end of this chapter. I wanted to keep listening, go on to the next chapter because I was all like, ooh.
Oh god, so yeah, thanks you for listening, guys. We'll do our usual shtick of giving you a little taster of an upcoming Patreon episode. Here's a special sexy clip from our episode on Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, and then the guy says, you're big for a woman. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Don't say that! And she says, yeah, you could play for the whatever American football team. And then she says, yes, I was a fallback, you know. But of course, that's European football. And he's like, oh, soccer? I play soccer. Well, then you would know there's no such position as a fullback.
I was thinking that because I know fuck all about football. But no, I was like, I'm sure I've never heard that.
Neither do I, but that's not the terms we use.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a rude thing to say. It's like looking at him, going like, whoa, that's one huge bitch. <She's>
like, damn, that bitch huge. Damn, bitch.
Oh my god! Oh my god! She's like,
and the mum's like, I know.
I know, but she sounded so normal size on the phone.
Let me just get this bitch out of here.
Oop! Mind the door frame. Fucking hell, did you enjoy that song?
I did. Her accent was almost as convincing as yours.
Oh my god, yes. So join up to our Patreon. It's $3.99 a month and you get an episode on the first and third Friday of every month. Show your love for us. Show us some support. Sign up. Enjoy our wares. Enjoy our comedy ramblings. And yeah, do some good for... Well, not your world, but our world.
Yeah.
Do some good. Full stop. What else can we do, Tom?
I can go over to poorlyread.redbubble.com and check out some of the fun designs that are up there that they could get printed on t-shirts and mugs and phone cases and all sorts of lovely stuff.
And face masks.
And face masks.
Yeah. Check us out on social media, on Instagram and Twitter at poorlyreadpod, and email us your tings at poorlyread@gmail.com. And give us 5 stars and a kick-ass review on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps us get seen by more people and helps us spread our hateful propaganda.
Oh, we've got a long to-do list for our listeners at the end of each episode, haven't we?
So I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And Magic's been Monkey.